Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Hall of Jostis Comic Cast. You got Above Average Joe and Excalibur's back for another round.
Yeah, this is becoming regular. I like this.
I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. Lord knows I need, you know, a buddy here for Young Justice, which...
Support group. We need a support group!
I need an adult!
No, seriously, you might want to watch this with somebody.
It's true. Like,
preferably somebody that you don't have to explain stuff to, because as we continue to see... Going further into the season, they are, like, digging into the crates for this show.
Oh, yeah. Like, whoa, put man. You this way. Halfway through the first episode, Excalibur and I had to pause it and have, like, a 10-minute just decompress. Because otherwise, our heads would have exploded.
Yeah.
As you can tell by this episode, how we didn't preamble at all. We just went right into it.
No preamble needed.
Whew. Okay, in the spirit of no foreplay, because, you know, that's what these episodes did, let's dive in.
Mm-hmm.
Episode one of this trio, so episode seven.
Yeah.
Sorry, Star Wars math.
Yeah. Oh, Star Wars math. It's like cop-out clones.
Oh, God.
I'm going to say something Star Wars related. This is going to piss you off, and you're going to swing on me, like, before I leave. I should stop.
No, honestly, it'll be a good palate cleanser.
Fair.
Oh, man.
Fair.
So, remember how in Season 2, how we got kind of that cliffhanger of Vandal Savage on Apocalypse?
Yep.
Yeah, we got the rest of that.
Yep.
And then some.
Yep. So, to preface and to give this more context, this is probably the most story driven episode as far as the light is concerned.
Yeah, or absolutely.
So if you look, even in season one and two, when we were starting to kind of figure out what they were really about, we never really got the full gambit of what the light's primary objective is, because they switched their objectives to meet their needs.
Yeah, they had many plans evolving. We just knew that there was an umbrella organization and that the outcome was generally bad.
Right. So what we figured out in this episode is it was always about controlling and stocking metas as weapons.
Yeah.
Just flat out. That's what we figured out. And the plan came about because of, at this point, Vandal Savage was going as Genghis Khan.
Yeah, I think so.
And he struck a deal with Darkseid when Darkseid apparently decided to invade Earth the first time. And
that pesky Highfather dude wasn't around.
Yeah, well, he ain't worth a damn anyway. That's anyway,
true.
So this has been
as useful as Gandalf.
Oh yeah, he do shit. So now we also find out that Vandal may have been the patient zero for the metagene.
I think that's more or less confirmed.
And that's more or less what we got. So we've got two parts of the story.
Yeah.
So the reason why Vandal and Darkseid have decided to team up is because Darkseid figured out that Vandal, through his children, are metas. And he was like, why don't we just strike a deal now? We help each other, so you get my firepower, I get your metahumans, and we'll just duke it out at the end. We'll duke it out for control of the galaxy, Earth and Apocalypse.
Out of all the people that Darkseid would come to the table with to have an end-all, be-all fight for all of the universe...
It's Vandal fucking Savage.
Vandal fucking Savage. Like, I had four other people in my head before I would have gotten
before
to
Vandal Savage.
And speaking of, okay, so if that isn't a shocking enough revelation, we get another particular one regarding Savage's lineage.
Mm-hmm.
When he was posing as like a
demigod
or something.
In Egypt?
Yeah. Apparently, a certain helmet-wielding dickhead is one of his kids. Naboo.
They also know him as the Lord of Order.
Yeah. Naboo. The asshole inside the helmet of fate.
Yep.
One, it kind of explains why he's such a dick. But Vandal Savage's kid is a Lord of Order.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That dramatically changes the scope of magic in the DC universe as far as Young Justice is concerned.
And I brought this point up when we were, you know, paused in our stupor. We're leaning into the old school Marvel theory of magic is just science that we haven't figured out.
Yeah, and they teed that up in the beginning when Wally put on the helmet.
Yep.
So it's got a decent foundation, but this was just like, this wasn't cracking the door, this was taking the roof off. I mean,
yeah. Whoa. So in this, and so to this theory, it's metas are either magic, or magic is either meta based or metas are more susceptible to be magic users.
Yeah, they have the ability to tap into some kind of, well, force.
See, yes.
Ha, Star Wars again.
Ha ha.
Oh God, that's a metachlorine thing. Oh God. Will you say things now before I get on the dark path?
You did it to yourself. So now this sets up a whole nother menagerie of problems, right? Like, how do we know? So we talked about the traitor in season 2.
Yeah.
How do we know that Vandal can't just snap his fucking fingers and whoever is the helmet wielder for Naboo at the time just doesn't flip shit and become a Lord of Chaos? Like, how do we not know that?
We don't know.
Now we have zero reason to trust fate at all.
Fate is now a big question mark. I think the only thing that's going to keep fate in control is Zatara.
Mm-hmm.
Which is if there is something that happens in that particular storyline, it's going to mean Zatara's going to die. Like,
yeah.
No one walks away from the Helmet of Fate clean.
No, you literally have to die to not be a holder of fate. You have to fucking die.
Yeah,
there's no way.
It didn't even let Kent go after he died. He hung around for a little bit.
Yep.
So that's episode 7.
That's the gist of it.
Oh, man.
Yep.
That thing was intense. The 8th episode was lighter fare, thankfully. Because we kind of had to come up for air.
Yep.
Man.
Even though that was a dead ocean master. Yeah, so, you know.
Was that episode 8 or 9?
Was that 8 or 9? I don't know.
They all kind of blurred together.
Yeah, they did, because we were watching them in chunks.
Well, also just because I think we were still mind-fucked from episode 7.
Dead Ocean Master was 9, because the light was the end of that one.
Yeah.
8 was the Lobo episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so Lobo, we saw him earlier in season 2.
Yep.
Getting the shit kicked out of him
by a Wonder Kid.
And he shows back up. He's got a kill order on Forager.
Because
apparently the bugs really hold a grudge.
Apparently they do.
Like,
apparently.
So he left the fucking planet.
You banished the fucking guy, for one. And then you want to kill it? Like, I don't understand. Like, you have ancient fucking plant collecting secrets you don't like getting out in the universe?
You know, they're going to kill him until he dies from it.
Apparently.
Yeah. So. But some stuff happens in this episode on two fronts. There's just a good sense of humor, and it is lighter fare. You start to see some better bonding between the three new recruits. It's kind of picking up from the last episode they were featured in, where they kind of became their own little miniature team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We saw an expansion on that. They finally got uniforms for everybody.
Yeah! So now Geo-Force isn't naked.
Although Forager is naked.
Perpetually.
Yeah.
He's just
But he has a helmet.
Oh, when he puts the helmet on, he's totally clothed.
Not naked. There's
no, I'm not naked.
There's some really fun stuff that happens there.
On top of all of the sexual innuendos that happened in episode 8, yeah.
Oh, God. Sexual innuendos, they're straight up sex. Jefferson brings it home, okay?
Yeah. Jefferson knocks it out of the park, man.
Shit.
I can learn a lot from this guy.
I mean, teacher's got game.
Apparently.
Not gonna question it, man.
No, I don't. Like, hey, hook up with the hot fucking.
He's been under some stress.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
He just you know.
Gotta
ground himself.
Yeah. Oh, science jokes.
Yeah. Compared to the jokes we are making in episode, this is tame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even remember half of them. We were just laughing so hard.
A lot of them were kind of bad.
Yeah. fences.
Fences.
Yeah, there's some jokes about mending fences.
I don't think that line will work in reality, though. It's kind of like the "Hey" line from Spider-Verse. Like,
hey.
Hey. Like, hey, you wanna go mend a fence? Like, I don't think that's gonna work.
Yeah, no.
It's kind of like the coffee line in Luke Cage too. Like, it's not gonna work.
Yeah,
unless you're Luke Cage and it works. But I'm not Luke Cage, so it don't work.
Really won't work for me.
Touche.
Like, nothing. Parker luck, man.
Good old Parker luck.
Okay. So episode 8 was fun. Lobo shows up with the kill order on Forager, or Ambush Bug, or whatever we're going to call him. Both. And
Ambush Forager?
Yeah, why not? So the whole team starts defending him.
Yep.
Like, I mean, it's a straight up brawl with the entire team and Lobo, and frankly, they're getting their asses handed.
Oh yeah, no, they got the chicken.
Like, the only one who's kind of holding his own is Connor, and he still gets knocked
out. And
that's
just barely. Yeah.
Yeah, he's barely holding on. Well, Halo gets, like, gorked big time. Like, she gets fish hooked in the extreme.
Yeah, just straight through the fucking, like,
yeah, like
sternum, bro. Just,
oh, and that scene.
Yeah, he's just fucking dragging her body in and pulls the fucking chain out of her.
Like,
yeah,
this is
dude.
How, again, like, we know they're going for broke because they're on DC Universe, because she leaves, like, a 4-foot-long blood trail,
yeah.
And then this thing comes sliding out. Yeah, it was definitely cringy. And then, like, 5 minutes later in the episode, you see Tigress and the doc holding up her corpse while she's healing herself.
Yep.
It's kind of funny. But it ends with Forager shucking out of his exoskeleton.
Yep.
Which, we were both stunned when that got squished. We were like, whoa. I mean, because it was brutal. Lobo just...
Because it wasn't like a mercy killing. Lobo was just like, no,
just
I'm just gonna...
smashed!
Yeah.
It was like Gallagher in a watermelon!
Yeah, it turned,
Well, that was a dated reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's gonna get that, but maybe us.
Mm.
And yeah, anyway.
But, you know, proceeded to pound the shell into a very fine powder.
Bullet in the brain pan. Squish.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Forager comes out from behind... Really, really pink.
Squishy.
And squishy. Dang. But yeah, so there's that. Geoforce did actually take the name Geoforce as opposed to
Hot Lava. His fucking Chippendales name.
Oh, God. It's crazy. It sounds less like a stripper name. Coming from Tigress.
Yes. That's also when Dick Grayson got punched in the kidney.
Yeah, he's going to be peeing blood for quite some time because she didn't even hold back. I thought she smacked Wally around.
Yeah.
Like that. Boom!
Yeah. So, I brought this up in the first one that we did. This new, like, trinity that's happening with Dick, Tigress, and Connor. That's a nice little, like, motif. Like, I actually like her being there more than I liked Megan being there. Like,
yeah, especially now that Connor is more grounded and not a big rage machine. Which is continuing to fuck with me. Like,
I'm still uncomfortable with the fact that he's so fucking zen about everything.
Right.
And then he has a fucking Superman diatribe, like, in the middle of this episode.
Which
I'm like,
she calls him on.
And and Tigress calls him out on him. He's like, wait, you sound like Big Blue there. And he doesn't even deny it. He's like,
Yeah,
he just shrugs it off. And it's like,
I'm like, remember when he was angry about being compared to him?
Yeah.
Like, it was like monkeys and Superman. Were
monkeys,
the two,
cages, and Superman.
Like, the three things that, like, triggered the hell
triggers?
Out of him.
He's triggered.
And now he's zen.
About everything.
It's weird. It's so weird. But what... was that an 8 or was that 9? The trio revelation. Was it 9?
It was 9. Yeah,
9. Trio. Okay, so... Man, we're speeding through this episode. So, Episode 9.
Well, 9 was probably I probably, out of all of the episodes, 9 was probably the most important to the continuity of this universe.
It was the biggest shift in storytelling because there was the obligatory, you know, villain setup in 7.
Yep.
8 was, okay, we're going to show the new team finally becoming a team. All right, cool, fun stuff there. Fun for the whole family and Jefferson. I'm sorry. When she's, you should thank him for getting so much time with the kids.
And the,
she did.
The best part about that, he was like, oh, she already did. Everybody goes silent, right? And then all you hear is the fucking bird. It's like, caw! Like, that was the best part about it. Man. I was like, oh.
Yeah, get it?
It was great.
Get it?
And of course, the it's older the ones. The
other type of dick joke.
The other ones were like. It clutched my pearls.
No.
But 9 was very. So, of course, Dead Orm. But before Dead Orm, you know, my hate for Ocean Master runs deep. So, we find out.
We're just going to sail past that particular pun.
I didn't even know I made it.
That's how you know it's a good one, when it just completely bypasses your own subconscious.
Go me.
Yeah.
So we find out that the light is not ashamed to play on uneven terms.
Oh no.
So what we find out is Shiva's running around apparently.
Neither one of us called
that.
And
none of us called it. But we find out that the light's nuclear strategy is to kill super families. We're not just talking like just random super families. No, we were talking about all Justice League like super families.
Wholesale eradication of the entire legacy organization.
We're talking
the Tornado Twins,
yep.
Aqua Baby,
yep.
Whatever Rocket's kid is.
I don't think we've established that.
Yeah.
Bee's kid.
Bee's pregnant.
Yep.
A certain baby Kryptonian shows up here. Yeah. So they introduced Jonathan to Young Justice Lord.
And you brought this up. We have a young Damian and a young John.
At the same time?
The same time.
World's smallest.
Yes! Continue.
Sorry. Segue. We're both big fans of, you know, Super Sons and Jonathan and Damian. So there was a very, very unmasculine amount of squealing at the sight of Jonathan.
Oh, no, yeah, no. I'm not ashamed.
I didn't say it was. I wasn't ashamed at all. I hit pitches that are normally outside my range.
Oh, yeah, true.
Anyway, so yeah, the light strategy is a surgical strike against all these kids.
Like, yeah.
And Shiva does raise a good point that, you know, they're prepared for mutually assured destruction because you wipe out all that family and, hell, if Superman alone doesn't kill all of them, then, you know, I think even Bruce would probably snap at that point. He would go full on, like, Punisher Batman.
Oh, yeah. No, we'd get gun-toting Batman after that.
Yeah. But I think that was our setup for why Ra's left the light.
Mm-hmm.
Because going back to the previous episode, we had Ra's with Jason Todd resurrected. And that's kind of Ra's big thing, is family. Like, he doesn't play around with that line.
Yeah, and, you know, more of a clue to that is, you know, the fact that Talia walks out with baby Damian.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that, because short history of Ra's al Ghul and why he's obsessed, is he is hellbent and determined to get Batman to be the leader of the League of Assassins. Mm-hmm. That has always been his MO.
Yeah.
He doesn't stray from that. Everything that he does, even though it's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's literally to goat Batman into being the next demon's head.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's his entire
point. That is his entire modus operandi. He does not break from that. Even his...
He will sacrifice his own goals in service of that greater goal.
Yes, because he's like the only one that is capable of running this organization is Batman.
Yeah, and we've seen Talia run it into the ground a fair share of times.
Yeah. Well, and then lo and behold, that's also what we're getting here now, is that, which we also find out in this series of episodes, is the League is not being run by Ra's or by Cheshire. It's being run out of Santa Prisca. Bane operates out of Santa Prisca.
That is going to get ugly quick.
Yeah.
I mean, Bane pretty much stomped everybody in the first season when he showed up, and he wasn't easy to take down the second season either. So,
oh no, he's just a son of a bitch. Like, it's not.
It's just that's going to get ugly fast.
You just don't think you're just going to walk in and, like... And this is... And
he maybe, broke the bat.
And maybe this is just my utter love of the character of Bane. The fact that we're getting so much Bane appreciation in the last 3-4 years has been phenomenal.
Well, I mean, we've also gotten really good creators utilizing Bane. Mm-hmm. We've taken him away from just being the
meathead
Bane that we got in Batman and Robin, and have actually been showing the fact that he's a master strategist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're actually getting a decent representation of Bane across all media. Probably that I haven't seen since the new Batman Adventures. When he was voiced by Hector Elizondo.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
That was the last time that I think we've seen a fully, like, capable Bane. Because I don't even think we got that in, like, the Justice League series. Because he barely showed up.
I think we only saw him, like, one time. Yeah. And Batman didn't do any real justice to Bane.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. They just lob that revelation out there and don't even touch it. Oh, they're out of Santa Prisca. Bye.
Yeah.
So, I guess we know where we're going in the next... few episodes.
Yeah.
But what other revelations were there in episode 9?
Haha. So, you know that theory that we said that all of these teams would probably clash and come to a head? Yeah, we were fucking wrong. So,
we didn't just miss the bus. Yeah. We were at the wrong bus stop.
Yeah, we were at the wrong bus stop completely. So, what we find out is the breakup in episode 1 of Young Justice was planned. So Batman, Kelder, Nightwing, they come up with this elaborate plan, and I think to some aspect Wonder Woman came up with this elaborate plan.
Probably because she's co-chair and Kelder's not gonna bifurcate leadership like that.
Exactly. So they came up with this plan to say, hey, we have to beat the light. The only way we beat them is to make them think they beat us. And the way that they did that was by splitting off. So now what's happening is that instead of them being a fractured group, which we find out is they're running 3 separate operations. Mm-hmm. So what they confirm in this episode is Batman, the team that he took is basically Batman Inc. Period.
Yeah.
No outsiders, it's just Batman Inc.
No, the outsiders are
the outsiders are Dick's team. Yeah, are Grayson's team. And then you still have the league that's in play, which is Kelder and Diana's team. So, the league isn't fractured at all.
No.
They're just operating on different standards.
They're doing covert ops right now. And what I think is interesting here is, one, this is going to make for some really fun dynamics when the league reconciles, because
there's a lot of people that were fucking mad when it happened.
And Ollie, like, Ollie's going to be sleeping on somebody else's couch for the
Yeah, he won't even be able to sleep on his own couch.
No.
He will have to elevate to sleeping on his own couch.
Yeah.
He will be sleeping in Wayne Manor on Alfred's couch.
Probably.
Until Canary forgives him.
That's not something she's got a good track record on.
And
either.
Then he may move from Alfred's couch to, like, Grayson's couch. He will just make the rounds to league members.
He might be able to do laundry at his own home sometime in the next 10 years.
He'll probably end up doing laundry and sleeping at the fucking, like, Hall of Justice. He might as well just go ahead and fucking, like, set up shop there. Because he's not going to be able to come anywhere near his own house.
And especially whatever's happening with, Spoiler and Tim? Wonder Girl and Tim.
Yep.
That got ugly.
Yep.
So I think it's kind of interesting, and I wonder how much Lex Luthor's kind of quietly shitting himself in the corner.
Yeah.
Because the one Justice Leaguer that you don't want to go completely off the radar is Batman.
Yeah. So.
And Luthor knows that.
Yeah.
So he's probably quietly panicking.
Well, because he knows that, and this has always kind of been the, I guess, to Luthor's credit, is he knows when the bat is out of play, it's not good for him.
Yeah.
Especially when he has to deal in league business like he has been for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
If Batman is out of play, it's the worst.
It means the game's about to
change.
It
means the game is changing.
Yeah.
So now, and Kelder was perfect. Kelder setting that up and saying, Batman left, and he took half the league with him, including the team, and we're operating at half capacity.
So he publicly diminishes the scope of the league's power.
Yep.
And effectively doubles it, because now Batman, who's always at his best when he is
untethered,
has gone back to being this wraith in the minds of his enemies, yep, as opposed to the angry guy at the end of the table,
right? Because that's what he was.
Yeah. And just the revelation that all three teams were working together was just, yeah. I have never been so happy to be wrong.
Same.
And I love that Young Justice is the one thing that usually puts me in that particular emotional spectrum.
Oh yeah, Young Justice is great for doing.
Like, I'm happy to be wrong about everything, just because I'm like, okay, wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be whelmed.
Mm. Well, speaking of the next particular Aster to come at us, so there was a revelation that somebody else is on the board.
Mm-hmm.
A particular granny is a big player. So Granny Goodness is on Earth.
Yep.
Helping to establish a teen metahuman outreach,
mm-hmm,
organization, because, mm-hmm, you know, that's great.
Yep.
She's also revealed to be the person behind the new VR goggles.
Yeah, goodie goggles, I think they're called.
Everybody's been using.
So, and to back that up, too, the first two episodes of the series, we saw a large amount of populace running around just randomly with these goggles, right?
Yeah, they were background. They were a big part. They were the kind of the whole plot device in the, you know, Bow Hunter security arc that we got.
Yep. So, and this also kind of reminds me of the plan that they had with the Luthor, like, soft drink, right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they figured out that can't work, but this can.
Yeah.
So they have leveled up the way that they have decided to go and hunt metas, because I'm pretty sure that's what this tech is being used for.
Let's
it's
go.
Meta recognition software.
It's identification and indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
Is what it's creating a servile populace,
yep,
and allowing them to tag these people.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's never really a good idea to give Granny control of, you know, access to minors.
Or anything.
Anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's scot-free on that one. Which I'm wondering if we're going to see him soon, because we're getting a lot of Fourth World stuff.
I'm sure we will. Him and...
And Barda.
Him and Barda can't be too far behind.
Well, I mean, we've seen the Shaggy Men from Season 1. They, mm-hmm, were in the background, so we know Cobra's involved, which, again, yep, ties back to Bane in a way that I didn't see earlier, but now I'm like, duh, how could I miss that? We've got everything going on with New Genesis. Orion's off the board somewhere, which is why he was being, you know, duped by
McGann's
brother.
Yep.
Which that's going to come back up.
That's going to come back and bite her in the ass.
Nothing in this show happens randomly.
Nope.
Like, ever.
Nope.
So that's going to come back and bite us. Again, Granny Goodness, that's never a good thing. We get a better sense of the Light's current roster,
yep,
which is a lot of previous members.
But also changed a little bit, too.
Like, Ultra Humanite is there.
Ultra Humanite taking the place of Grodd.
Yeah.
Faust
was back.
Yep.
Of course, Savage. Now Isis is there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall her being on it previously. Was she in Season 2?
She was around, but I don't remember her actually being full tilt in the Light.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing her at that particular table.
Like, she was always a piece of it, mm-hmm, but she was never, like, in it.
Yeah, and we know that the Light is actually a historic term for Vandal Savage and his brood.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that connection to Apocalypse. Granny Goodness is now at the table,
yep,
which I'm willing to bet no one else knows that she's from Apocalypse, except probably Savage.
Yeah.
So now you've got...
Maybe Luthor.
Maybe
because it's
Luthor. Yeah. And so now you've got Apocalypse weighing in heavily, mm-hmm, into the power brokering of the Light.
Yeah.
And
it gives him a seat without being present.
Yeah. Darkseid is... He's got a seat at the table without actually having a seat at the table.
Yep.
Because, well, he's powering all their intergalactic efforts. The Might of Apocalypse is there for them to use,
yep,
so in exchange for metas.
Yep.
So I'm really interested in how we're going to see that come into play with the new gods, because it's going to happen sometime. We've already got the Tomorrow People out there. Something else is going to come. I mean, theories for episodes 10, 11, and 12?
I'm kind of afraid to, because the last couple theories I made have been shot in the fucking face.
But they looked so pretty when they hit the wall.
Yeah.
It's like Jackson Pollock.
Yeah. What I do think now, after seeing what we've got so far, is I really think that now we're going to see a lot more of the light's hand.
Yeah.
More than we have in previous seasons.
I think this is going to be a very... We're going to flip the dynamic of, like, say, season one, where it was them chasing the light. We're going to see a lot more stuff from the light's perspective. And then we're going to try to see our heroes catch up to it. I think you're probably right on there.
Especially when you think about the kind of like the midpoint of episode seven. And Savage is talking to Luthor and he says, hey, there's this force that's, you know, trying to get to Earth. We got to stop it. And Luthor Luthor's like, well, why don't you call for help? He's like, well, you know, why don't we get the Justice League out here? And Luthor plainly goes, nah, they're at half capacity. It's not happening. And then he goes, well, what about, you know, the rest of our, you know, the rest of the, you know, Big Seven? He was like, nope, they're preoccupied on whatever planet that they got sent to because of his madness. And he was like, what about the Green Lantern Corps? Green Lantern Corps is still fighting the Reach. And so they have... They have, and Luthor said, like, your plans worked so well, they worked too well.
Yeah.
So, that's one of two ways that they swing. Like, it actually really worked that well. Or, we've moved to a point that because now what we know about the three-team structure of the league right now, they specifically are deciding to do that in order to play Vandal Savage.
Yeah, and especially with certain members of the league being in the dark, because Batman even says... Because they're talking about this, all this possibly coming to light and them having to testify about manipulating the public and even, at this point, you know, global governments because they're part of the UN.
Yep.
And Batman even goes to... Because Wonder Woman says, you expect me to lie under oath? And he says, no, I expect you to use your diplomatic immunity and avoid testifying at all.
Right.
Could you imagine Superman lying under oath?
Right.
Like, yeah, that's never been his strong suit, like, ever.
And... Kelder can do the same.
Kelder's been trained by Aquaman. He understands how to play, you know, diplomatic
community. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And even if he doesn't have to, he's still got Garth there in the UN who's going to do the same thing. Troy is going to do the same thing.
And then you look at it, the rest of the room is fucking Bat Kids.
And I'm like, these guys are raised on lying.
Yeah. Their entire, like, makeup of becoming who they became is...
You know, it kind of reminds me of that scene
in
the second season when all the mentors show up and Wonder Woman congratulates Wonder Girl and Superman congratulates Superboy and Martian Manhunter and McGann have their thing and Batman looks at Nightwing, Batgirl, and Robin and just kind of nods.
Yeah, he just approving dad nod and he just like walks off and it's like, okay.
It's the whole Mulan thing. You fight good.
Yeah, exactly. You fight good.
Yeah.
This is acceptable.
Good job not dying.
Yeah, good job not getting blown up.
We have work to do. Stop smiling. Go. Yeah.
Your graduation is over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're going to start seeing, especially in terms of the role that Apocalypse plays, I feel, because now that we know that Granny Goodness is in the picture, I think we're going to really figure out what these VR things are about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've already guessed right on that one. That's one thing that I'm pretty sure we're safe on, guess-wise. Yeah. But I think we're going to figure out a lot more of what's happening with Apocalypse and what his actual role is.
Maybe Darkseid?
Darkseid and what his actual role is.
Yeah.
Where the new gods play in this.
That's what I'm the most
Because we know they're
about.
In play. So even if we don't get that in this next three episodes, it's going to happen within the next six.
It's going to happen sometime in this season, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to happen within the next six because that's going to have to set up our finale.
I definitely think our finale is going to be more cosmic than terrestrial based because we've still got a lot of leaguers out in the wind, a lot of power hitters on the league out in the wind.
And I think we're going to start seeing a lot of those power hitters come back the closer we get to the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. The GL representation, probably not, just because that reach conflict is much larger, and that's a good way to keep them.
Maybe. I mean, because I think Stewart is actually with the heavy hitters, so I think that's... So I think if a GL comes back, it'll be him.
Yeah. Although, where's Icon?
I don't know. Maybe he's with them because he had to act as their lawyer.
True.
So he could be part of that heavy hitter group that's out there.
He could.
So, there you go.
I mean, all these super dads just leaving all the kids at home.
I know, right? Also, cute as fuck moment out of all of the random shit that's happened. The fact that the super families have fucking play dates.
Oh my god, it was so good. I want a spinoff series that's like Rugrats with it's like Super Friends with Rugrats.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's do it. I am game. I am.
Greg, if you're listening.
Right. Yeah. doesn't have, just a couple
episodes. We're okay with you, hurting us emotionally for this show. But we would really, really, really like that.
We would like to not be depressed.
If you feel like being a kind and merciful master, we would greatly appreciate it.
Please, sir.
And before we go further into the Oliver Twist references, I think we're going to wrap it for tonight, gang. We'll be back with another episode next week.
Yeah.
After we, finish... therapy for this one.
And I haven't gone back to watch any of the episodes we've watched so far. I might have to go back and watch these three.
Yeah, I'm...
Because I feel like I'm missing something.
Well... Sorry, yeah, post-wrap-up conversation. no, I feel like these three were the most interconnected story-wise. It felt like one big episode as opposed to three individual ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to have to go back and watch these three again.
Yep.
Not tonight, because I'm just not emotionally prepared for that.
No.
But all right, tune in next week, gang.
Bartenders.
Speaking of bartenders.
Ooh. Yeah.